Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at last.
Amen. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. So don't forget to stop by there. They have many wonderful programs there, different hosts every day. And Jackie's program, of course, the Scattered Sheep Report, on Friday evenings. You might want to check that out. Also, we'll be returning to the Eternity Ready Radio Network. We thank God for these opportunities to preach the gospel. Also, we have a YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and our website, propheticnews.com. And don't forget our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they do. They really do. I just want to read a scripture before I bring my sister on. And Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So for any of you who are being afflicted, and I know many of you are, we all have our trials and tribulations, because that's a promise. That's one of the promises that the Word of Faith teachers don't like to mention, that Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Well, none of us like it. But we all have our trials and tribulations. But the Lord says he's going to deliver us out of them all, even though we don't, sometimes deliverance doesn't come exactly when we think it should come. And we don't understand all things, of course, because we see through a glass darkly, and we don't know everything like God knows. So we just have to hope and pray he gets us through it. Amen. Hi, Jackie.
How you doing, Susan?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, hanging in. And, anyway, thanks so much for coming on. You're one of our favorite guests, and we've had some special requests for you to come back on. People miss you, and people that listen to my program here anyway, when they don't hear from you for a while. But I'm
they can always listen to the Scattered Sheep Report, and they can listen to me anytime on RaptureReadyRadio.com.
That's right. For many of you don't know about Jackie's program. If you're a new listener or you haven't heard Jackie before, you can hear her Scattered Sheep Report, and that's available. She does it every week, and always something great from Jackie, because she's been around. Now, Jackie, just give a brief resume for the people that don't know your background.
Oh, boy. Well, since a couple of years after I got saved in the early 1980s, I was, how would you put it, introduced right away into apologetics ministries through the ministry of Dr. Walter Martin, whose Bible study I began. It was, after I ventured out after getting saved, since I got saved in the quietness of my own home with Jesus. But when I ventured out, it was to Dr. Martin's study, because the friends of a friend invited me. So I got introduced right away to the problems that within the religious world, that there are many deceptions, and that you need to study to show yourself approved, workmen rightly handling the word of truth. And I had to learn that right away, because there are so many cults, and they are all over the place in the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I met my husband, who had an apologetics ministry on the East Coast, and I'm from the West Coast, and we got together and formed a ministry called Eastern Christian Outreach, and that ministry tried to help people coming out of cults, and we were very much involved in trying to snatch people away from scary teachers that were in the shepherding movement. So, and so my husband, when I met him, he was a newspaper reporter, and so he later went all the way through to his PhD and became a journalism professor. So I've always had a professor, you know, teaching me journalism, I guess, and we both did apologetics together for at least the first 10 years of our marriage. I never stopped, but he really got so involved in career that he kind of left some of that aside. But it's just that I always felt, because I got saved right on the heels of the Jonestown massacre, and
yeah,
I always felt that we needed one another to keep an eye out for the false teachers so as not to get ensnared by them. And man, I mean, there's still a lot of deceptions today. In fact, the deceptions have come into the church since we first got saved, Susan, because I know we got saved the same year.
Yeah.
And so we were more worried in the beginning about not falling into a cult, and then the cults came into the church.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, why my husband and I started the magazine, The Christian Sentinel, in the 90s, and I've restored The Christian Sentinel now. And in fact, you can go to ChristianSentinel.com and read my articles that I do with a former Christian Post reporter named Barry Bowen, who you know him also. And
yeah,
we're just trying to help people not, I mean, you know, in Ephesians, we're told to expose the wicked deeds of darkness, and when we expose them with the light, they'll be exposed, so nobody will fall into those snares. And since there's so many toils and snares facing us, especially on the very eve of the coming of the Lord, that we need to help each other. I mean, I know, you know, I call my report the Scattered Sheep Report because the sheep are scattered, but fortunately for places like Blog Talk and YouTube and places like that, even if we are scattered, we can still rely on one another for all of us. As I end my show, every show I say, keep on the lookout, because we need to see and look at the signs of the times in order to know that Jesus' return is near, but also to remind us not to get lazy and not help snatch people out of the fire, because the fire is about to fall. And the fire of judgment in this case. But anyway, I guess that kind of sums it up. There's so many details you can go into, as you can as well, in how God brought you through all the came against your faith, especially when you're a baby Christian. It is so easy to fall into these deceptions, but God is faithful and brings us out of it and takes us places to. You know, among people with divine appointments, I think Walter Martin, Dave Hunt, people like that in my lives were divine appointments to steer me in the right direction when I started wandering off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I remember when I was first born again and like you, I was in a hotel room and I got down on my knees. I didn't get saved in church, although I'd heard the gospel from Christians, strangely enough. I bumped into an evangelist who invited me to his home for dinner. And I thought Christians were wacky, really. And so they were always smiling. I couldn't stand that. They always had that smile. They always had that smile on their face. Like, why were they so happy? And so anyway, he invites me over to his house, and him and his wife, and they sit me down to dinner, and we're having dinner, and they're telling me I'm messed up, and I'm like, what? You're messed up. I'm thinking to myself, I'm messed up. Oh, you're messed up. Oh, it made me so mad. But and then they started picking me up for church. I would go to the church, but I would just go because I was thinking I'm going to prove that they're wrong. And there was this little country church that I attended anyway. I got saved, and then I was in that little church for a while. And I remember there was a church down the road, and they were charismatic, and they were word of faith, and oh, they had all these things that just seemed so, I guess, alluring at the time. Like you said, when you're a young Christian, what do you know? You just, wow, that looks good. And so then I started going over there, and I remember the pastor saying to me, "Now be careful over there, be careful." And I just figured, well, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. But that's when I got involved in Word of Faith and Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and remained in that movement for about 15 years until, thank you, Jesus, he got me out. But that's how easy it is for young Christians to veer away from being solid. That's why the Bible says that we need the teachers, and we need the pastors and the evangelists, and we need these people. And we only take milk at first because we're babies. And then we get older, just like children grow. They grow from babies, and then they grow into adulthood, and then they get more wisdom. But it takes a long time, a long, long time, even for myself, where you find that you don't really have much wisdom in your life until you get older. And then you, right? You get some wisdom, but
right.
you still sometimes aren't seeing the full picture, and you can still fall into traps. But we learn. But I realized that I would say probably not until you're over 50 in most cases do you start to get some wisdom. That's why the Bible says that we should respect our elders in the faith. And there's a reason for it, and to respect our honor our fathers and mothers, because they're older and they're wiser in some of the things in life. And so, but we thank God that he delivered us back when he did, because I think it's a lot harder for people nowadays to stay on the straight and narrow.
There's too many temptations. And of course, the internet is just full of distractions that, you know, so many people today who end up living in cyberspace don't go out there and actually have human contact anymore. And I think that in itself is a snare for a lot of people to begin to start fearing each other and things like that because of what we're seeing online and on YouTube. And, you know, you see a lot of scary things, and a lot of people are afraid to venture out of their houses anymore because of what they see on the news.
Yeah. Well, we live in perilous times for sure. We see, even I was driving around my neighborhood today, and I remember when we came to this county for the first time around 1981, and it was mostly retired people had come here to retire, and the properties all looked nice for the most part. Oh, the community was nice, but now you drive around and you could just see the decay, which is, it's kind of a sign of the times of what's happening to neighborhoods, what's happening to cities, even though, of course, right now we're having prosperity, so to speak, in many areas, but there's still a lot of people that can't make it. And you can tell by driving around neighborhoods and what's happening. It really is an eye-opener for me anyway that, okay, the stock market's doing good, and then we've got these new tax cuts and things like that that are helping people. But I would say it's probably very difficult for people to get by today in the world that we live in to try to support families. It's difficult.
And of course, today with the political climate, there's a lot of any success that we see happening as far as the changes President Trump is making, you've got the naysayers on the other side who are screaming and going out rioting. And, you know, this whole stuff with Antifa and some of the things that are going on today, we haven't seen since the 60s when we were rightfully rebelling against Vietnam War, you know, but now people are rebelling against all things that are godly, and they're out in the streets representing every degenerate thing, such as, you know, the recent Me Too Women's March wanting to, you know, have their voices heard so that they can destroy the baby in their wombs all the way up to the 9th month if they so care to, and that, you know, they're angry at anything that's pure. They want transies in trannies in the military. They want same sex marriage. Every ungodly thing that there is, it seems like half the population is out there screaming, and they scream louder than the conservatives do. And so you can see the wickedness out there. And I think that's another reason, like I said, it's a little more intimidating to be out in the middle of crowds of people and things like that. You never know if a truck's going to come barreling through and knock everybody down.
It's
like,
true.
You know.
It's very true. It gives you pause.
Yes.
Because it's not like it used to be. We didn't have these kind of incidents. I think really what happened at the World Trade Center there was kind of a wake-up call for all of us because, wow, who could believe that? You were watching it and you couldn't believe it. Wow, you're looking at it and saying, is that building going down? That building's going down. And so now you have, like you said, you have cars plowing into people and people being shot when they're at concerts outside. And we never had this kind of violence, but there is a great divide now in our country that we never saw before. And you can actually see, at least 49-50% of the population is on the side of liberalism, and we can do whatever we want, and don't tell us what to do. We're going to do whatever we want. And then there's the other side that's barely clinging to life. I don't know how much longer conservative principles will be in the forefront, because it's the old saying. I think, I don't know if Hitler actually first said this, but they said that if you tell a lie long enough, then eventually people will believe it. And so that's what's been happening, is that you have one group of people, they just keep lying and lying and lying and lying, and then people are believing it, and they're believing the lie. And eventually we'll have more people believing the lie than believing the truth. And then I think that's the time we're already starting to see some sorts of persecution, which are odd with Christians, but it's going to get even worse in the days ahead for us to try to take a stand for the gospel. And even on the internet, I think eventually we will be censored.
Oh, we are being. Many people are losing their YouTube channels and all kinds of things like that. Just for speaking the truth, they're going to censor you. Any conservative ideas, I mean, it came out not that long ago that Google will hide people's web pages and sink them down to the bottom or page 5 on the search engines or something like that if you have conservative beliefs. And, of course, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Google also owns YouTube. And so they have the same policies over there. And in fact, I know of people whose shows, whose YouTube channels I have subscribed to, who do speak the truth, even if it, steps on some especially Islamic toes, and then they lose their channel. For some reason, one of the biggest divides in on the planet, really, or at least in the Western world, is anyone daring to speak against Islamic terrorism. You can't, because if you put that word, using Islamic adjective in front of terrorism, then you are the problem. You are the bigot, and you're an Islamophobe. And so us who are labeled Islamophobes are really the ones, I think, singled out for persecution more than any other group of people. I follow a group in England called Britain First, in which one of their leaders, a woman, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but she dared in public to speak against the Islamic invasion into the UK. And she was arrested on the spot, spent time in jail. I don't know. I think I don't know if it just happened because I haven't kept up with it, but she was going to go to trial and had a long-term prison sentence ahead of her for daring to speak against Islam in public. Now,
it was a hate crime, right?
Yeah, it's a hate crime. Even though she was speaking the truth, it didn't matter. She offended, the founder of the religion as being a pedophile. She said that, they wouldn't sit still for that. And so even though all the terrorism happening around the world, the major percent of it is coming from that false religion, you dare not call it a false religion. I mean, well, we're on Blog Talk Radio. I hope they don't come down for saying that. But those are just the facts. I mean, those 3,000 people who came down in those towers, I hope that they didn't die in vain. You know, we need to, gosh, that used to be the saying, remember the Alamo? Heaven sakes, the Alamo is nothing, a little blip in history compared to those twin towers. How can these people on the left forget those lives that came down in those towers?
It seems like they've forgotten about it. I don't know why I'm echoing here.
To me is absurd to forget that, because that was just, what is it? It was in 2001, so do the math, 17 years ago. That wasn't that long ago, and things have only gotten worse. I think that the whole world changed on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, it did. The whole world changed. It was never the same after that, because we were like, it was easy to get on airplanes. It was easy to go to the football game. I don't even want to go. I'd like to go see the Buccaneers play, and you have to be frisked now before you can get into the game. And I'm not going to endure that just to see a football game. So, and I don't want to fly either, because I don't want to take the risk of somebody frisking me. I was frisked once when I was in England at the airport, and that was enough for me. So I'm not going to subject myself to that again. It's a traumatic experience. So, but that's it. We lived our world was simple, basically. But now things have changed. And like you said, eventually, okay, they have hate crimes now. You can't talk against homosexuality. And I think that's in England. And I think it's in also Canada and some other countries. And so you can't talk about Islam either, and the truth about Islam, the truth of what they believe, which is very obvious, really. If you read their writings, you can find out pretty easily what they believe. I think I saw that lady. She's a blonde lady, right? The lady you're talking about?
No. Actually, no, she has dark hair.
Oh, okay. Somebody
I'm
else.
Sure, I'm sure. Oh, I know. There's a blonde lady who they're coming against here in America, and she's called something mom. But I wish I could remember what she calls herself. And I can't even remember her name, but she has a YouTube channel that's gotten very popular, and she speaks against these very things. And she's a very attractive blonde young lady. She's a young mom. Oh, that's crazy that it's on the tip of my tongue and I can't remember her name, because I've quoted her on my show and played clips of her. She's fantastic. But, she has had the problems here with censorship and from on her YouTube channel, but the lady out in the UK, she has dark hair, and another guy that was with her, he's also was arrested. I mean, they put handcuffs on her and took her away just for speaking the truth. And it is an ugly truth, but the religion's ugly when they pronounce jihad on the West. That's an ugly thing to do. So how can you speak of those things in flowery terms?
Well, you can't. You can't speak about it in flowery terms, but I noticed that too on YouTube. they send you this letter, and they tell you that they want you to be reviewed, your content. I said, never mind, I don't care. I'm not going through all that. I'm going to be on YouTube for now, whether they monetize me or not. I could care less. But they're not going to censor my content. As long as I can have a voice out there, I'm not going to be censored. So they
can
keep their channel if they decide to take it away.
Yes, it helps not to monetize. Don't monetize on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's when I was getting the letters with, well, we're going to have to review your channel. In other words, it was a review where a person has to study your content. Well, yet they have pornography on there. They have people saying the F word and all kinds of things going on. And they're going to worry about me talking about one of the videos they wanted to check on was Jan Crouch dies of a stroke. Well, what? What are you going to find in that?
Oh.
What were you going to investigate? So, yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is they don't care about the immoral left because that's their philosophy. That means freedom. Freedom to children, well, you know, don't step on that. You know, they want, you know, the pedophiles now want their status. And so they can get out there and say horrible things. Death threats can be made on YouTube against the president, and that flies.
Yeah.
Twitter is the same situation. I don't use Twitter a lot, though I am on Twitter. I like to use it I follow the president's tweets. That's why I started using Twitter. And Instagram is also interesting. But you see all these social media outlets that are out there, you know, they all seem to be controlled on the left. I know one person who was dumped on YouTube that I know of. He ended up going over on a place called Minds, you know, as in your brain, MINDS.com. Minds is a new place like YouTube, kind of like in competition where they don't censor. But when you go over to Minds and you see, you know, these are uncensored things so that you can have your stuff on there without being censored. Some of the most vile things are over there as well, because some of the things that are even too extreme in the evil way over at YouTube get on over at Minds.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's part of the price you have to pay. You don't really like to be affiliated with that kind of thing, but yeah. Yeah, it's strange, really. It's really strange. It seems that any kind of conservative point of view or a Christian, especially a Christian point of view, can be censored. And that's going to be our lot, though. Of course, we have our radio broadcast. I have 9 years of archives, and I'm sure you have many, many years of archives, too. So hopefully our archives...
Yeah, 9 years, just like you.
Yeah. So we have all that's out there for anybody that wants to go through our archives. You can go to RaptureReadyRadio.com and also on Blog Talk Radio, Rapture Ready Radio, and my channel, Prophetic News. So there's 9 years of programming out there. And I don't know how long these things will be out there. I thought about it, too. I thought, well, even after I'm gone, those things will still be here. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe the day will come when we won't be there. We won't be allowed there anymore, and they'll just take everything we've ever done away. But there's still books, and I think that's why I think books are important, too, because it's always been very difficult for people to get rid of books. They've tried and tried and tried to get rid of books. The Vatican tried to hide books in their basement, and tried to ban books and change history and all the things they tried to do over the centuries, but yet they couldn't stop the Bible from being printed. They've never been able to stop that book from going forward. And so I still think, even with the internet and everything, there is a place for books. And that can be something people have in their homes.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, in fact, the Catholic Church banned the Bible. The Bible was on their list of banned books.
Especially the King James Version. We were told when I went to Catholic school, don't read the King James Version, especially, but don't even read the Bible because you can't understand it. If you have any questions, you ask the priest, he'll tell you. That's what
I know.
Told.
And even if you could get a Catholic Bible, because I had one when I was a Catholic, there, every verse was footnoted to say it really doesn't mean this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We never had a Catholic Bible. As a matter of fact, we did have a King James Bible in our house. I don't know how my father ever got my aunt, and she was Catholic, but she gave our family a King James Bible, and it was in the house, which I read later. It was a beautiful old Bible with great pictures in it, which they don't use those beautiful pictures like they once did in the Bibles, but... Anyway, I wanted to talk, too, a little bit about Charisma. I like to call Charisma Magazine fake news, fake Christian news. It's really amazing, Charisma Magazine, how low they have gone and how they don't really stand for anything over there.
Yes, well, you know, well, what they stand for is the extreme charismaniacs, as I call them, and... You know, Stephen Strang is the founder and the publisher of it. He's also the publisher of Destiny Image, you know, the book publishing arm, where the worst of the worst, you know, the people like Bill Johnson from the, you know, the church in the Bethel Church in Reading, that, you know, the ones that gave us the, you know, the grave suckers, the ones that go to the graves of the dead people, like Amy Semple McPherson and lay on her bones to get the anointing. They'll do that. See, charisma has always been a contradiction. They will have the craziest of the crazy promoting the worst of the worst. And then later they will have editorials by Lee Grady, I don't know if Lee still has a column over there. Fire in My Bones, I think, is the name of his editorial.
I don't see it that much.
Well, you know what? I used to subscribe to it. I just quit subscribing a couple years ago because it was just so much the same. And but Lee Grady was almost like a voice of some sort of correction, and maybe they got tired of hearing it. But then again, he would fall for, he had so many blind spots, you know, because he was like friends with Cindy Jacobs and some of the NAR people, and yet he couldn't stomach people like Rick Joyner and some of the ones he saw as more extreme. Well, in that whole circle that Charisma runs in, I don't think any of them were sound. In fact, sometimes they would promote. Sometimes Charisma over the years would have an article about some respectable person in the same way that TBN would have all these heretics on, and then they would have, oh, well, let me get some respectable people as to give us some credibility by association.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what Charisma does. They get credibility by association, like when they put David Wilkerson on the cover or Nikki Cruz, or, you know, or somebody with some level of legitimacy. And then you open it up and you see the ads with Patricia King and Randy Clark and all these guys saying, oh, come to the Third Great Awakening. Do you know that they've been advertising the Third Great Awakening in these ads to get you to come for the past 20 years and no, they're still asleep? They're still blind.
That's it. They're still asleep and they're still blind. Yeah. Well, we'll have to, I guess, wait for the Fourth Awakening or whatever. But I go over there. Of course, now they're on the internet. So I go over there once in a while just to see the news. It's amazing what's over there in their news. And yeah, they might have, like, they did an article a couple weeks ago about pimps. I couldn't believe that they actually used the name. A lot of people get deeply offended when you say that some preachers are pimps, but they are. They are. They prostitute themselves for money, and they sell the gospel, and they sell Jesus Christ for a few dollars. Not a few dollars. They managed to make a good living out of it. So, yeah, they're pimps. But one time, Charisma, I think I wrote, they used to have, remember the day when they had editorial page? I think they had an editorial page, and then you could write in if you had a question or a comment about the editorial. Well, they would never publish my comments back in that day. There was no internet back then, so you didn't have a voice. They tried to censor everything, even if you were trying to correct some false doctrine or some heresy. But then thank God for the internet, because it gave us a lot of freedom, because we didn't have to worry then about being on their comment page. We had our own comment page.
But you know what? Who were they identifying as the pimps? Because they can't find somebody who you could identify as a pulpit pimp who hasn't graced the cover. I mean, they've had Mike Murdoch and Maurice Cirillo, some of the worst of the worst con men out there who are the pulpit pimps have graced the cover of Charisma. So who do you recall who they were pointing to? I think they've even had Todd Bentley, the crazy tattooed goon, on the cover, or at least they've had a promotional article about him in Charisma.
Yeah, well, they didn't name names. They don't name names. Don't name any names. Oh, yeah, they're big on that. Yeah, they're big on that.
Whatever,
you have to name names. You have to name names.
Whatever traits that they could point out, it's graced the cover of Charisma. And, you know, now here's the latest thing is Stephen Strang came up with a new book. Trump is in the title. You can look it up on Amazon. Stephen Strang, It's Strange Without the E on the end. So if you want to remember, know how to spell it, Stephen Strange, drop the E. But anyway, Stephen Strang came up with a book about Trump. And what it is a collection of all the so-called prophets, such as Cindy Jacobs and Chuck Pierce. Oh, that's terrible. That was a horrible slip. Sorry to Chuck Gerard. Chuck Pierce.
Yeah.
And some of the worst of the worst loonies and people like Lance Wallnau and whoever the NAR prophets are. It's Stephen Strang put a collection of all of these pontifications and prognostications all about Trump, and then when Trump was somewhere, I can't remember where it was, just recently, he was handed the book and was, put the picture up next to him and smiled for the camera. But I think Paula White is also in the book.
No,
yes, I mean. Well, see, that's the sad thing is,
that's the saddest
Trump,
thing about the Trump presidency. The saddest. That's his spiritual advisor. That's the saddest thing that really, that's the worst thing. One of the worst things is to have Jezebel giving you counsel. That's horrible. It's almost too horrible for words, really. But these people.
Well, they like to call him Cyrus. But I think if we're going to label him an Old Testament character, maybe it should be Ahab.
Well, yeah, if he's taking counsel for Jezebel. I mean, I like Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump. Let me tell you, I was two feet away from him at a rally. And he's a very nice looking man. He doesn't photograph well for some reason. I don't know why. But he's got beautiful skin for his age. He's got really beautiful skin, and he's got gorgeous hair. It is blonde. It's not orange. It's very, very blonde, and he keeps himself very nice. He carries himself very nice. Very well dressed.
Oh yeah.
But that is a tremendous flaw for a man of his intelligence. And he's not stupid, because you don't become a billionaire by being a stupid person. But to have Paula White as your spiritual advisor. I don't know. Melania, help your husband out over there. Will you please? Melania.
Because the word is that Melania is a Catholic.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I'm sure
we're not going to get any help from her. I'm hoping for maybe some help from Pence, from the vice president.
Well, somebody. I don't know. I can't believe the whole thing, because I'm amazed, because you have men, I don't know if I like the men, I don't know. They don't really act like men. I have to say it. They don't really act like men. I like men that are strong. I like men that'll take a stand. And these men don't take a stand. Franklin Graham and Jack Graham, the former head of the Southern Baptist, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he's standing there with Paula White and Robert Jeffers and the whole bunch of them. What are they doing? What's
wrong
with them?
David Jeremiah. He should know. Yeah, you'd think he would know better. This is just expediency. It's compromise for expediency's sake. It's what's going to get their name out there. It's going to give them connections. I mean, to have connections to the president, I understand Jay Sekulow is very much involved with Donald Trump and so if they speak against Paula, they could lose their position. And so that's why I mean it's expedient for them not to, or their own goals in their own work. So I don't know. I think they're going to answer to God for that, you know.
They have to answer to God for that. What if God wants you to be there with Him, with the president? It would be to their advantage to tell Him the truth about certain people that He's associating with. Particularly a woman and her husband that recommend watching porn from the pulpit. I would think that that would be a big deal to most men of God to advise a president of the United States. And then a woman who tells people that they can give money to have babies and things like that. So if God really wanted you there with the president, it wouldn't hurt to tell him the truth. I'm sure the truth would not offend him if somebody was bold enough to say it, but why be there anyway with this man if you're not going to tell him the truth? God would have you there to be a truth teller and not to be a compromiser. So I don't understand it.
Well, I don't know, to tell you the truth, if anybody can tell Trump what he doesn't already know about Paula. I think that, Paula White, 10 years ago or so, she had her program. It was a weekly program. It was on a lot of different local networks, but it was also on TBN and Daystar and all those. She had Trump on when his book came out, The Art of the Dealer, I think was the book. But anyway, he also had on her a co-author. I don't know if that was the name of the right book, but the two of them sat on the show together. I did an article about it for the Christian Sentinel, in which the two of them were trying to quote scripture, and the one guy that was the co-author
Kiyosaki.
With Trump. I think that was the one.
Yeah.
And he said, doesn't the Bible say God helps those who help themselves? <You know? laughs> And stuff like that. And so Paula was just, falling all over these guys. And so he doesn't forget that because, see, she helped him get his book into the Christian circles. So that opened a big door for his book because a lot of Christians, or at least Christians that, the TBN sort of watchers bought his book because she was pointing it as a way to follow his principles along with hers to really get rich in life and all of the best in life.
Yeah.
So so she opened a major door for him where he wasn't getting through to, I think, anybody, I don't think that Robert Shuler ever had him on. I mean, because he was another one.
No.
Yeah, and see, Shuler was one that could get crossover books into the Christian community. He was the Christian Oprah, I guess, because if you had a book promoted on Oprah, wow.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But I think, Trump... That's right. Trump is rewarding her what she did for him. He is much loyal to people who were there with him, before before he even had his TV show. So that you're not going to talk him out of Paula. He has I think he feels indebted to her in a way.
Well, I don't know. Nobody talked him into keeping Flynn or Manafort, and Sean Spicer. They dropped like dominoes. I don't know. It's an odd couple. Let me say that. It's an odd couple.
Hey, well, I think Trump is very partial to women. People try to say that he's, against women. I think quite the opposite.
Oh,
is
I don't
true.
Think,
I think
so.
He's,
he's a man.
Women.
Men like women. That's the way it is.
Well, it's not. They used to anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's right. Yeah. We know that men like women. God made it that way. So, yeah, he likes women. And, it's an odd couple, really. It's an odd couple, and only God can knock that thing down, really. But to me, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous because you don't want the man that's considered anyway the most powerful man in the world, which probably the Pope is, really, but the President of the United States, and you don't want him taking counsel from someone that doesn't know God themselves. You would prefer that it would be for all the people that he has around him, and I thought even the comment he made the other night at the State of the Union when he said that when he introduced the firefighter that adopted the baby that was probably addicted to heroin when it was born, the mother couldn't keep the baby, and he met the mother on the street. And anyway, he adopted the baby, and Trump says, he said God told him to do it, and he did it. And I thought that was a great comment right there. God told him to do it. And because you don't hear that from a president. What president says that? God told him to do it. So I thought
he's got to have somebody.
Yeah, I like that about him because he has to have somebody that he trusts. And I doubt that it was Paula. He's probably got somebody that he trusts there, a man of God, who says those things to him, and it came from his heart. So I like that. I thought that was probably to me the highlight of the evening when he said that. But I think he's trying to know God. He's probably trying. I don't think for a minute that he's born again. But I would like to see him, and that's my hope for him. And it's my hope for Paula White to get saved and stop conning people already. Just give your life to Jesus and God will bless you. You don't have to con people to have a ministry. You just don't have to do it. Just do the right thing and you'll have a happy life. Because she's already had one bankruptcy and two of her churches that she founded were bulldozed, leveled to the ground. And so that was the fruit of that. So there's no good thing that can come out of being a con artist. You just won't succeed. But I hope and I pray that he has some good, godly counsel, people that love the Lord. And they don't have any, they don't care if they're seen with the president. They don't even care if they're seen. They just want to be there for him to be a friend because that's what he needs. He doesn't need people that want their picture in the paper with him. And that they're being mentioned with him. I think that it's more important for him to have friends, real friends, that care about him as a person.
He's doing okay for himself, though. He has done more in the first year in his presidency than any president I can think of in recent history. And what president have we ever had that we could point to and say, now there's a born-again man of God in the White House? I can't think of one. And so,
there's never been one.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if he was that way, now I think that Vice President Pence is born again, he doesn't have the charisma of Trump. So I don't even know.
No, he doesn't. No.
If he can get very far because he is a humble man. And, meekness is as, God said that Moses was meek. That doesn't mean that he was, that he didn't have any backbone. I think Pence looks to me like a man with that kind of he's not in love with himself. He's not a narcissist. He seems to be a very meek man and yet a godly one and who does, want to do what's right. But when the world is so corrupt, when our country is so corrupt, and the ones that are shouting the loudest are the ones that are parading in the street with, you know, half naked and don't care what it looks like to anybody or even children on the streets that they're parading down. You know, some of these feminists, they're going out there going topless for, you know, to make a statement. You can, they show who they are in how they display themselves as the most, I mean, wicked. It isn't just the pride, the gay pride parades. These feminist ones are with their hats that are supposed to depict the women genitalia. These people reveal their absolute depravity to everybody looking on. And anyone who has any sense of morality will not want to follow the words of anybody who looks like that and who parades themselves like that, because, I mean, you might as well be back in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, or it's indicative, because it seems like every time God poured out his wrath, it was when these immoral things were like openly displayed, kind of like, ha ha ha, God, what are you going to do now? I mean, that's the attitude when they display themselves like this. And he'll show them. I mean, I've been to the ruins of Pompeii. I know what he's capable of. And of course, there isn't much left over by the Dead Sea of what was left of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, but see, this is becoming a global depravity that has to happen. If God is going to pour out his judgment again, as he, you know, gave the rainbow as a promise that he wouldn't again flood the world, but that the world is being preserved for that fire, well, that's going to be cast down pretty soon when the evil just gets, you know, fully engulfed in the planet, and we're not far off.
No, we're not far off, but isn't it kind of ironic, though, that if women are asking, they don't want to be sexually harassed, and of course no woman likes that, but why would they wear that kind of a hat?
I know. I mean, and like I said, a lot of them are doing the topless thing as well, because they are immoral, and because they don't just want to be equal with men anymore. I mean, it started out well, correct? I mean, it started out the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. Like, I think I mentioned it earlier when we were on the phone. When I started working, there was one minimum wage for males and one minimum wage for females. And the minimum wage for females was much lower than the minimum wage was set. And this was a federal minimum wage. And, and so there were real things that women should have been concerned about. And yet then it's the whole pendulum swing. Then they go too far to the other side, and they totally discredit even the good things that they started off, you know, wanting to correct.
Yeah. It really did. Everything has shifted, but it's perverted. It was perverted, that whole, I didn't look at it this year, the Women's March. I didn't even pay any attention to it because it's ridiculous. Like you said, with the hats, what's the purpose? You're saying that you don't want harassment, and then you present yourself like that. So it doesn't make any sense, really, at all.
Yeah, I know. I thought, you know, that at this last, what is it, the Oscars, all the women in protest were all wearing black. And then the Democrats did that for the State of the Union. They all wore black.
I find
it interesting that they would choose black. Somebody put a picture of up a meme on Facebook of the Democrats versus the Republicans, and it showed a picture of Mad Magazine's Spy versus Spy. Remember, there was the black spy, there was the white spy. Well, you know, anytime you had villains, like in the Western days, the villains were always wearing black, and the good guys were always wearing white. So I don't know why they would want to adopt wearing black when that has always been the color that, you know, has always been displayed for being on the bad guys. You know, it was the, you know, Roy Rogers was with the white hat.
Yeah,
even his horse was a Palomino.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. Here
yep.
he is. What? Here comes the Long Ranger. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to also talk a little bit about. I don't know why I'm getting a feedback here, but I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about a ghost writing, being an author yourself and a journalist. Let's talk a little bit about ghost writing and what famous books would you say have been ghost written?
Well, now see, ghost writing is a different thing than people who show like someone who's written alongside them. In other words, from my understanding, the whole Left Behind series that was written, that is by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye, I understand from very close sources that Tim LaHaye didn't write any of it. But you see, he had the name and Jerry Jenkins had the writing skills. And so
yeah.
they would consult with each other as far as where to take the stories and things like that. They'd have the consultations, but all the writing was done by Jerry. Same thing with the whole series came out, years ago in the 70s and 80s, by Josh McDowell, the famous apologist. You had Josh McDowell in this series of books that was co-authored with Don Stewart. And, of course, the one with the big name had the name in bigger print. And then Don Stewart's name was in the small print. Now, he's not to be confused with the loony
Don
Stewart face healer. No. This Don Stewart was more Calvary Chapel type of guy. But Don, again, from close sources, did all the writing. Josh did not. But, again, Josh would be the one consulting. So those aren't exactly – that's really common. Somebody – had said, and I don't know if I can believe this, because I know Hal Lindsey's written a lot of books on his own, but
yeah.
A lot of people are saying that C.C. Carlson, who is shown in small print under Hal's name in The Late Great Planet Earth, people are saying, well, C.C. Carlson is actually a woman and that she did most of the writing. Well, at least she got her name on there. It's when they don't. Now, my understanding, there's a ghostwriter. And again, you know, I don't know about today so much. It's back when my husband, actually next month, it'll be 7 years since he went home to be with Jesus. But he did his PhD dissertation on ghostwriting and plagiarism within the Christian publishing. And and so he found a lot of that kind of thing. Now, there's a famous ghostwriter by the name of Mel White. And Mel White.
Yeah.
Okay, he ended up coming out of the closet. He was one of the starters of the Metropolitan Community Church, which is the gay church, okay? And so I understand that he ghost wrote books that with Billy Graham's name and Jerry Falwell and some of the big names back in the 70s were written by Mel White. His name
yeah.
did not get on those books, so that's ghostwriting. But these other ones that we'll use another example. From what I've known of all the books co-authored by John Ankerberg and John Weldon was a personal good friend of mine and my husband's. He just went to be with the Lord recently. And that he wrote every word in the whole series that they did on the little booklets and any of the books that were written with John Ankerberg had the big name and John Weldon was the actual author.
Yeah.
But of course they do again consult with each other, but the one who does all the writing is the one whose name is in smaller print.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz I used to wonder who's John Weldon, like when John Ankerberg
yeah.
would offer a book, like, who's John yeah. Weldon?
The brains behind the outfit, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, John was brilliant. I went to the same the same graduate school with him at Simon Greenleaf. I sat in on his master's thesis defense. Brilliant man, wonderful guy, and we've had him speak at some of our conferences. I've used some of his tapes on my Saturday show called Time of the Signs that I do on Saturday nights, just of good teaching from good teachers of the past. But so that's the more common thing. But a lot of I think Pat Robertson is another one that uses ghostwriters. Some of the ones with the biggest names in here, you wonder, well, how can this person come out with these books so often? How is Joel Osteen coming out with these books? You know, the thing with Joel Osteen's books, because he's too busy of a guy to be bothered with writing books, even though he's a bestseller, is that that he has a whole you know, people behind him that'll take his messages, transcribe them, edit them, and then all he needs to do is approve the editing of his messages, and then add things here or there, or tell them to put this in. And it's that kind of thing. He doesn't sit down at a word processor.
No. No. But he's been
plagiarism. You know, my husband really found a lot of plagiarism in the church, and so that is, I think, even a bigger problem than ghostwriting. I mean, some people can, have their name on their book without writing it, but it's usually when somebody's name is associated with it. But do you know that Rick Warren, for instance, puts all his sermons, and I guess he's got pastors that just look at all his sermons, not just his notes, but his actual sermons, and they'll memorize them and preach them at church as if it's their own message, and not give attribution to Rick Warren. And Rick Warren is okay with that, because he just wants to be a change agent in the church, so that postmodern emergent ideas can spread faster. And so there's many pastors who will just take his stuff and regurgitate it. And they do the same thing with John MacArthur. People will take his stuff and regurgitate it. I think they can get their hands on his notes anyway. So there's a lot of that going on in behind pulpits.
Yeah, I knew that about Rick Warren, that he likes to take his sermons and distribute them to churches that are actually, I heard that there's churches that are under him, that they pay tithes to him, and he gives them his sermons to use. It's kind of like a cult.
Well, that's not like just using a musician's song and using it on your worship team and then paying a royalty on using the song.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing. And I think that people will use those kinds of, you sing songs that aren't yours. They'll try to use those kinds of really lame excuses for being dishonest, because, they're just not doing the work. Oh, well, I got busy, I don't have time, so I'll just regurgitate Warren Wiersbe's message. I've seen that happen.
Yeah. Well, I think they get lazy. They don't, they're not hungry enough for the word to study it for themselves and get a message, because there's so much in the Bible. It's not hard to get a message, really. If you go and you start reading, you say, wow, I never saw that before, even though I read it so many times. And you get a message. So if we've managed to be on the air for 9 years, 9 years, that's a lot of radio broadcasts. That's a lot of topics, and that's a lot of radio broadcasts. So if we can get a message for 9 years and we didn't have to copy anybody else's message, although I do find it, sometimes I find I'll write something and then I'll see somebody else said basically the same thing, and I didn't plagiarize it, but
that's just the moving of the spirit.
Yeah, they think the same way you do.
I really see that. I see that as common, that I will quote a particular scriptures on my show, and then the next day I'll listen to a message and they're quoting the exact same scriptures. And of course, we're not picking that up from one another. It's just that when you are in when the Holy Spirit's, you know, is guiding you, he's guiding others in the same way. And in that, that's wonderful. And that's not plagiarism, of course. That's just the moving of the Spirit, and we're tuned into the same channel to hear the Master's voice.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Thank God we're still hearing the Master's voice. And come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
we
I'll
all
say.
Look forward to his coming. And
absolutely.
It'll be an interesting time when we finally go and we're not here anymore on this earth and going through all the things that life brings to us. But it'll be wonderful too. It'll be, they sing that song, "It'll be wonderful over there." Yeah. It'll be wonderful over there. And it really will. But anyway, Jackie, I want to thank you for coming on today. And great program as always. What do you have in the works? You have anything in the works for us?
You mean as far as, well, you know, I've been doing a series on mysticism in the church and looking at the New Age influence and how it's become the norm. So it's funny because I was using one of John Weldon's books that he wrote, wow, over 30 years ago, called Psychic Forces and Occult Shock. And so, you know, Weldon could see these kinds of things, you know, that were being used among the, you know, the rise of the occult and all of that. Well, then with the writings of Dave Hunt and The Seduction of Christianity showed where those very things were then coming into the church. And so now I'm looking at how these things are now become the norm in the church. And so we need to blow the whistle on these infiltrations of doctrines of demons that sadly are just, you know, they're just there and nobody cares. And so I'm still working on a series on that, and then working on something for the Christian Sentinel about the death of a Catholic versus the death of a born-again person, the difference between looking forward to being with Jesus versus looking forward to going from horrible pain to total agony in the fires of purgatory.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things the Lord is, you know, showing me, and I'll just keep going till he calls me home.
Yeah, and I think that's a good topic that we had talked about, how back in the 80s and the 90s, we talked about the New Age movement creeping into the church. It was creeping in, but now it's taken over, basically, and how quickly it happened, really. And
Without firing a shot.
And also we're going to talk, we'll do a program in the future about Rosicrucianism. I guess that's how you say it. But Jackie was telling me that she had been to a museum in San Jose. They actually have a museum, which is hard to believe, but I didn't know it existed. And anyway, you can check it out online. They have something online about it. But we're going to talk a little bit about that in the future, about how the New Age movement and some of these things have crept into the church, the whole new thought and emphasis on self, which has become very big, kind of a distraction, really, from what's really going on in the world. I think it's more difficult for people to go through trials when they keep telling you that your best life is now, and they don't tell you some of the things you're going to have to go through, and it doesn't prepare people then for some of the trials in life. So we need to be well balanced and to be prepared for just about anything life can throw at us, because you never know. You're just sailing along one day, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're going through a big trial. So we have to be prepared for all those things and preach a well-balanced gospel. But I want to thank my guest, Jackie Alnor, and don't forget to check out her program, Scattered Sheep Report, on Blog Talk Radio, and it's scatteredsheepreport.com.
It's raptureReadyRadio.com. Okay. The Scattered Sheep Report is just one of the programs, which is the Friday night program on Rapture Ready Radio. My webpage is ChristianSentinel.com.
Okay.
And then also people can find me on Facebook. I keep on the lookout and post things that are pertinent to the signs of the times that we're in, all on my Facebook page under just my name, Jackie Alnor.
Yeah, you have a public page, so you can go to Jackie's page, and she does post quite frequently, really, and then she does dialogue with people too, so you might have a conversation over there, yeah, with Jackie. So those things are available, and don't forget Rapture Ready Radio. There's great people on there. You get a different program every day for your spiritual food and to be a blessing to you. So that's available. And the Christian Sentinel, it's wonderful. Jackie's articles there. It's real news. I call it the alternative to the fake news charisma, because it's real Christian news. And I think that these type of newspapers and Christian magazines should be in the forefront, and not Charisma magazine. I don't know how great they're doing anymore. At one time, they were very, very, very popular. I can't even guess really what their circulation would be now. But I know that when I posted a comment about Jan Crouch after she died and what she did to her granddaughters, oh, they took the post right down. They took it down. They didn't they didn't want it on there. It's like, what's wrong with the truth? She sued her. The Crouch family there, the Matt and Jan and her grandparents and her uncle sued her over 20 times. A kid. She's only like in her 20s. Like, leave me alone already. But they didn't want that comment on there. No, they didn't want it on there. So, but you have to be able to tell the truth. There's nothing wrong with the truth. The truth is always good. And so we all need the truth, and we all need to be corrected at times. So there's nothing wrong with it. But anyway, Jackie, thank you so much. God bless you, and we'll be talking real soon, okay?
Oh, will do. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I always appreciate it. Thank you, Jackie. God bless you. All right, everybody, that's our program for today. And remember, if you're not born again, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. It says in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. And those were the words that Jesus spoke. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. No matter what sins you've committed today, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. Ask him to forgive you today. He will, and he'll give you a brand new life. A life of peace that money can't buy, a life of joy that money can't buy. He'll give you all those things. Plus, he forgives your sins and he forgets about your sins and he doesn't bring them up. No matter what you've done in your past, you can be forgiven and start a brand new life. That's why the Bible says you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and behold, all things become new. And we that are born again have all experienced the love and the mercy of God in its fullness. God bless you. Don't forget to come back next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday day I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.